All right, on this episode of Bouks Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at Ryzen Landmark 5, which goes down on April the 30th. It's a heavyweight bout as Tsuyoshi Sudario and Roki Martinez get out there to test skills, and great getting to have Roki on the show again. How are you doing there, man?
All good, good. Everything's going good.
Yeah, this seems to be a big one, though. I mean, getting back to competing under the Ryzen banner. I saw that post you had a few weeks ago talking about how you're back where you belong. So can you describe some of the feelings readying to, you know, get back to fighting in Japan?
I've always told people, fought a few different places, and Japan in general just always felt like a different place for me fighting. And not only on top of that is, of course, Ryzen's rule set to me is the best. You know, you can't, with soccer kicks and knees to a down opponent, there's no safe stalling there. So, I love it. I feel like, there's a few fighters who say it, but they feel like they can be more violent over there. And I totally feel that way as well. So yeah, I'm excited to get back there. And, I feel like I do have a bit of fans out there as well, or better fan base out there too. So it's exciting. And, their crowds are awesome as well.
Yeah, for sure. And they seem to really enjoy watching you fight, for sure. So it seems like a mutual kind of thing in a lot of regards. But another post I saw you had, like, you kind of hashtagged no pressure, no diamonds. Like, as much as there's the excitement fighting in front of Japan and it's a great fan base, like, is there a certain level of, I guess, pressure that maybe informs your performance in a positive way? Like, can you speak to maybe the pressure dynamics of fighting in Japan?
Yeah, I think more so the pressure for me I have on myself is looking at my UFC career and how I did. I kind of feel like this fight's, I just have a lot to prove, more to myself than anybody else, actually. After that run, you start thinking to yourself, man, am I as good as I really thought I was? And, of course I had that, what I thought was a bad decision before my release. And I start questioning myself about, how good am I really? And, a lot of people are talking about Tsuyoshi. It seemed like a lot of people feel like he has a chance against me. And in my head, I really, with no disrespect to him, I just felt like he wasn't quite at my level yet. So there is a pressure now to prove to myself, like, just how really good I am. And I do good under pressure, so I'm not too worried about that. But yeah, I just feel like I just have a lot to prove. And it's good, though. I usually do good when the pressure is really on. So makes it even more exciting for me.
I was gonna say, that's a bit of an interesting way to kind of look at the fight, because I mean, just having interviewed Sudario a few times over the years, and especially so like with the previous issues with like the pandemic and travel restrictions and stuff like that, it seemed like a common thread in talking to him, like, in not disrespecting his fellow Japanese heavyweights, but he really like wanted some sort of international test. Like, that was something he was like really campaigning for. So I mean, in a certain way, I get what you're saying too, but I feel like this also represents to him like something he's really been looking for a while, like someone who is like a heavyweight of like international renown. So I mean, very interesting fight in a couple regards, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
So to that point, because you're like a guy who strikes me as like a very, I guess, like studious guy, like in terms of like having a lay of the land of like what's going on, and it seems like you've been noticing the rise in heavyweight division heating up. So like, how long have you been, I guess, checking out Sudario and kind of surveying him on that scene?
Pretty early on in his career. I don't do too much Twitter, but I do have a Twitter account, and every time he would win, I would get tagged by a lot of fans, that they want to see me fight him. So it's kind of been on my radar for a while. Even when I was signed to UFC, I believe he was fighting already. And I felt like it was bound to happen, especially because I was really campaigning to get back into Ryzen. So I felt like either way, sometime down the line, if he stayed with Ryzen, that we'd most likely end up fighting each other.
Yeah, and I'm kind of wondering, like, how different things are with this return. Just, I mean, 3 years can definitely be, you know, a period of time where a lot can transpire. Like, what are the differences between, you know, the Roky Martinez that last beat Hideki Sakine versus the one we're going to see enter the ring for this next one?
I just felt like a completely different person than that first fight. You know, along with the experience of fighting, you know, pretty high level guys, and just the amount of work I've been putting into training as well. I think people can expect a way better version of myself. And yeah, man, I just I felt like I've gotten better all around, and that's why I'm pretty excited to see just how much better I got within these last couple of years, and be able to do, put on a violent show and hopefully get some soccer kicks in.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely want to see you engage in the superior rule set. It's always fun to watch that. And you briefly touched on it earlier, and I don't want to necessarily, you know, dwell on it too much, but even in talking about your UFC run, I mean, there definitely seem to be, you know, certain highlights. Like, you talked about the last one being like a contentious split decision, but also getting yourself in the history books. I mean, fourth most strikes landed in a single, like, heavyweight fight and everything. So I guess, like, what was the general overview, like, totality of the thoughts with, like, the UFC run? Because it seems like there's, like, a redemptive mindset heading into this one, but at the same time, it seems like you made a mark in certain regards. So, like, how would you look at the overall, I guess, UFC run you had?
I looked at it as, I felt like I can definitely compete with those guys, and it's just the only thing, man, is it doesn't really matter. You just, these days, is you just need a win, you know? So that was the hard part about it. And when I recently found out about that record, or, you know, the strikes landed part, I really wasn't surprised, because I do remember in that fight, every position I was in, I was just trying to hit him, you know, and cause damage. And it's just good to know that I can, I can do that to guys like that. And my last opponent in UFC was a pretty big guy, man. I remember he was pretty close to not even making weight. But just to know that I can do it to guys like that, you know, it gives me a lot of confidence. But, you know, still at the end of the day, those weren't wins. And I'm just really hungry to put on a good win and get a good finish. So, I know I can compete with high level. I just, like I said, I have to just prove it to myself again. With the win, though. I need a win. I can't just say, oh, I did good again. You know what I mean? I need a win.
Yeah, well, I mean, at that point, you'd be putting, you know, a bit of a streak together there. Because, I mean, the last one, kind of an interesting one. I mean, good in the sense you got back into the win column for the first time in, like, a few fights there. But just, I feel like it'd be a good one, too, just, you know, getting the win in front of, you know, the Guam faithful and, you know, having that partisan support. But also kind of curious there, because it was almost like you had to, you know, finish your opponent, Yokoya McGregor, a couple times in that fight. Like, can you, I guess, give me some of the main takeaways from that last one?
I know he was a younger, inexperienced fighter, you know, in regards to his record. But he really was the only guy in the region that was accepting the fight with the promotion. So, you know, I've been waiting for a fight for so long, and I was just like, you know, I'll take this fight, get back into rhythm. And yeah, after that first initial, I had a pretty hard soccer kick, and I guess no one really noticed how hard it was. And when the guy rolled to his back, I could see his eyes rolling. So I didn't want to cause too much damage on him. So, I threw a couple more body shots, and the ref decided to step in, but it just, I guess he was protesting it, the fighter, you know, cause he was still out of it. But, they somehow worked it out to give him another shot and let the fight continue. And I really didn't want to inflict any more damage like that, just because I already knew, like, his head wise, he had already, I mean, he probably was concussed already. So I actually didn't want to hit him in the head too much when they restarted it. So I told my cornerman, I'll try and knock him out with a body shot. But he ended up, he tried to shoot again. And then I was able to just take his neck and get a choke. So I'm glad it ended that way and not too much more damage on the guy. But yeah, I mean it felt good to get that win back. But I didn't put too much weight on that win just because I know he wasn't, like I said, his record wasn't outstanding or a huge name or anything, but it's just, I needed to compete and get a fight in, So, but yeah, I don't hold too much weight on the win. I feel like this fight coming up will be a way better gauge of a win for me.
And you did touch on the soccer kick, which was, legal under that rule set. Like, how much does the Guam MMA rule set bear similarities to, I guess, the Ryzen rule set beyond the soccer kicks? Like, is it kind of similar? And if so, how much utility was there? Because you were talking about, wanting to get back out there and compete, but was it, like, well-served being in a promotion like this to transition back into the Ryzen rule set because of the similarities?
Yeah, so with the Brawl rule set, they pretty much do use the same rule set as well. And yeah, it was great to compete under that rule set, especially going into Ryzen now. And I feel like I'll benefit from that, kind of like a warm-up into going into Ryzen.
Yeah, for sure. And what are your thoughts on, because we're talking about Cedario and you're talking about how this fight will be like a better gauge of, like where you're at and everything like that, as opposed to the previous outing. Like, to that point, like, what do you see in terms of like Cedario's, I guess, better stylistic attributes and just his present resume and his kind of young burgeoning career, where you're thinking that, where this is like going to be like a good strong test for you and all?
I could tell you he's pretty athletic for a bigger guy. He's got some speed and power. Obviously, he has power. He has quite a few knockouts. And he's to me, within the short amount of time he's competed, he's from his first fight to, his last fight's kind of hard to gauge because it ended pretty quick. But, the fight before his last fight, he's definitely improved a whole lot. So it shows that he's picking up things pretty fast, So, and so now it's going to be, about 4 or 5 months since his last fight on New Year's Eve. So I'm sure he's probably even improved a lot more in that short time just because of his ability to improve so fast. So, yeah, overall, I think it's just a good gauge for me. And he's a big, strong guy as well, so. Yeah, I think this is a better gauge for me to win. But at the same time, I still don't believe he's quite at the level of guys that I have already fought in the past. So, but, it's a start for me if I can pick up a good win. And then, maybe we can, not looking past him, but it's a start to continue this run.
And do you have like a broader, I guess, specific goal for like what this run could represent? Like, is it more of a matter of like putting together a good, strong run under the Ryzen banner? Or is it like a particular kind of goal? Because I feel like Ryzen could probably cement a heavyweight champion at a certain point, but it seems like they haven't really gone that route outside of like different Grand Prix they've had over the years. Like, what represents, I guess, like a goal, like a broader kind of goal you have here? Is it, like I said, a matter of putting like a few fights together and just steadily competing with Ryzen, or something maybe more specific?
For me, I know I might be getting towards the tail end of my career. I'm kind of just going by how my body feels and injuries and stuff like that. So for me, I want to, if this is going to be my last run in my career, I kind of want to, have a good winning streak. I'd actually prefer to stay with Ryzen. I just, like I said, I feel like that's where I belong. And I'm hoping that with all these heavyweights that they've been bringing in more so than before, I hope they can, consider making a heavyweight title. And if they do that, that's something I definitely want to aim for. That would be a goal. And it'd also be cool if they do another heavyweight, I mean, an open weight Grand Prix as well. That's something I would love to do. So, but yeah, for the most part, man, I just want to get a good winning streak in, you know, if before I hang them up, and if somehow there's a title there in between or open weight Grand Prix, I can get a title in as well. That'd be good. So either one of those, but yeah, I just want to hit a good win streak again. If that's how, if, you know, preferably that's how I want to hang it up, on a good win streak, kind of like what Krokop did. You know, I think he was on a 9 or 10 fight win streak when he retired. So that'd be great. That'd be nice.
I was gonna say, very interesting you used that specific example, because I mean, you were talking about how you're almost looking at this as like you're getting into like the last kind of, you know, big run of the career. And I felt like when you were fighting Mirko Krokop, there was that kind of like almost like crossroads sort of fight, like you were on the come up and, you know, he was like the established guy. Do you feel like the roles are almost reversed in this Sudario fight, in a sense? Are you kind of picking up those vibes at all? Or
yeah, I guess you could say so. Now that I look at it, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm almost 30 fights in. Well, over 30 fights if you count, like, you know, all these amateur and stuff like that. But, yeah, I guess you could say it's, yeah, he's coming up. And it was, like, switched roles when I was fighting Krokop. So now that I think about it, yeah, that's spot on.
It's just such an interesting journey, because, like, I do share that sentiment you were mentioning before, just talking about how you feel, you know, you belong in Ryzen, just like how it has that almost like lineage attachment to Pride back in the day. And that seemed to have like really, you know, got you into, you know, mixed martial arts and everything. And I mean, we're talking Krokop and stuff like that. But just as we were kind of talking, I was thinking it must be sort of interesting readying to fight Sudario and having someone like Ensign in a way in his corner, just someone who was an established Pride veteran at the time. So an interesting journey in a lot of ways, it seems.
Yeah, and also, I'm not sure if you're aware, but Ensign is also he used to be training partners and actually a coach of my current coach right now, Melker Manabusan, and they have like a pretty deep history. You know, there was also a fallout in between them at some point, but now they're, you know, they're pretty cool again. So it's another interesting backstory that I'm not sure if a lot of people are aware of, but yeah, they're former. They have their history, and now they each have their own fighters fighting each other. So it's a pretty cool backstory there.
I mean, I admittedly didn't know about that backstory either. I mean, that's cool. It definitely adds that, you know, kind of element that we're talking about too, like almost like a generational kind of thing. Like as much as it's like a new fight and something new happening, it's like it bears hallmarks to, you know, things that have existed for a while. So that's a cool anecdote, man. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And just curious, like, if you're still getting in the usual, like, Spike 22 work and stuff like that. I know you've always represented, you know, Guam and have been at that gym a lot in the past. Is that still the case where you're training out of that space?
Yeah, well, so I actually recently opened up my own gym. It's still a Spike 22 affiliated gym. So a lot of the guys still train there as well. It's just that my gym, for the general public, is mostly open just to boxing and kickboxing. But when I do my camp there, you know, of course we do everything. But yeah, that's where I'm training out of now. And yeah, it's called RM Sports Boxing and Kickboxing Academy. And I represent that, and still Spike 22 as well. So, but yeah, still for sure Guam based.
Yeah, for sure. And like, what kind of heavyweight bodies do you have out there that you're getting in that work with? Or is it more a camp where you work with like, maybe like even like light heavyweights or middleweights, and there's like a speed component to it that benefits your game? Like, what's the, I guess, sparring partner dynamic like in that regard?
Yeah, so being on Guam, it's always been a problem getting, you know, these bigger guys. And every now and then I do get some bigger guys that can come out and help me that are, you know, fairly athletic and strong. But yeah, a lot of my main core partners are probably in the light heavyweight to middleweight range. And it's good though, I get to work a lot of my my speed and stuff like that. But especially now with my age too, I've kind of cut back on like the sparring type stuff. So we do a lot more like high intensity drills. And I feel like with all the fights I've had already and how many big guys I've fought, I don't think I have that much of a problem adjusting when it comes to the fight. You know, if like a big guy, like for sure, Cedario's a big guy. I don't think it's going to be like a surprise for me just because I don't have as many big guys to train with. But I feel like just the way I've been doing it for so many years, like I feel like I kind of have an idea of what I need to do. So, but yeah, in regards to training partners, it's mostly like light heavyweight to middleweight size guys that I have that are consistent.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair enough. And I mean, that's probably the good move. Like you said, I mean, you definitely have that experience that you've accrued over all these different fights. So probably not really needing to do that hard sparring as maybe you did in the beginning. Like maybe the utility isn't, you know, quite the same and everything. I mean, you've had quite the journey. We're talking like UFC Ryzen. Like I remember when we were talking before when you were the Deep Megaton champion and defending that belt. So yeah, I feel like you know what you're doing in that regard.
Yeah, for sure. It's just, you know, with all the years of experience, it pays off in that way.
And I guess one last kind of parting question as we're kind of talking about it. Like obviously when you go to Japan, it's squarely about business and competing and things of that nature. But like, how do the trips go generally? Like, do you get a chance to kind of like check things out a bit after the fact? Is it kind of like, you know, to the airport relatively soon after you do all your obligations and you're kind of out of there? Like, do you get to do pseudo like touristy kind of stuff when you're out there at all?
So every time I fight there, I always tell the promoter, like, yeah, can you just fly me back a few, like, I'll give them a day that I need to come back by, but I usually stay a few days after. I'm very familiar with Japan. Besides just fighting there, I don't know how many times I fought there now, but besides fighting there, I actually go there a lot, whether it's for vacations or to watch other teammates fight, or yeah, I've just been there so many times, so it's more so like, man, it's cliche, but it's like a second home to me. Yeah, interesting enough, I feel like this is more so like a homecoming for me. And yeah, I definitely, after the fight, I love to go out and enjoy my.
Quick follow-up to what you were saying, because you were talking about, you know, how often you go to Japan, even beyond fighting, and you'll be there to like corner guys and even visiting on vacation. Like, what do you think it is about Japan that resonates with you so much to the point of it being that second home, you think?
I think a lot for me is the culture, definitely the food. I'm a foodie guy, and you know, Japan's got really good food. And yeah, just like the culture, and it's a clean place to be. It's just nice. The people are nice. And yeah, man, I just love it out there. Everything about it, I love.
Yeah, it seems like an awesome place, and I definitely want to make a point of going there someday myself. But you've been really great with your time, Roki, and I appreciate all the great insights ahead of this Ryzen return. Definitely was excited when I saw the flyer drop for the fight. I, you know, to reiterate the theme from before, definitely feel like you very much belong in the Ryzen fold, and I mean, a compelling fight with Cedario as well, but you've been really good with your time and want to be respectful of the rest of your schedule too. So I guess to that point, is there any like final parting thought you might want to add as we're kind of wrapping up, Roki?
Yeah, man, I just want to say, you know, just thanks for everyone for the support and stuff, but if I can say one thing, it's, man, tune into this fight, because I really feel, I've just been telling everybody, I feel like it's going to be a special fight, and I'm going to put on a really good show, and I just hope, you know, Cedario comes ready to put on the show as well, because I'm going to bring it, man, and I want to have a fight of the night. You know, if there's going to be a fight of the night for this event, I want it to be ours, so yeah. Tune in for sure.
Well, I mean, you definitely have that track record for barn burners, and I find Cedario is a entertaining fighter as well. So yeah, definitely an exciting one for April the 30th. And to reiterate, I appreciate you making a bit of time to talk before the fight, man. Looking forward to peeping it when it goes down. But until then, you have a good rest of your day there, Roki.
All right. Thank you, you too. And thanks for having me again. Take care.